Hello guys, and welcome to Run Planet 365. And today what we're going to talk about is how difficult is it to be able to actually understand and comprehend and execute heart rate training, okay? And I'm going to give you some of my experiences when I first started and all of that, you know, and how it helped me or didn't help me, what I struggled with, how and what you need to do. So hopefully this, like my experience, my advice, hopefully, you know, if you are heart rate training or if you're being coached by me, hopefully that you can like get some insight and say, okay, I know what heart rate training is, kinda. I know some of the numbers, but how do you put that in place when you train? So like the whole execution and so that way maybe you're doing something and then maybe you're doing it wrong and then you, maybe you think you're doing it right and so on. So it's really good to know, like to have these, you know, guidelines and stuff. So first, you know, you, first time you hear about heart rate training and you say to yourself, well, what is that? Okay. And it is exactly what as it sounds. Heart rate training has been around for many, many years. Now, it hasn't been as popular for whatever reason. I don't know why, but it's really big in Europe and it's really not big in America. And I've never really understood. You know, it's sort of like, you know, something that hasn't been talked about. Why many people don't train by heart rate. And I think it just gets a bad name sometimes because, you know, they say there's too many variables. But in life, there is always too many variables. The same thing in running. So the first thing you do is when you get a heart rate monitor, and right now, like before Coros came out with the armband, I was always suggesting to people that, hey, you know, you need to get probably Garmin premium heart rate. Like based on my experience and past and battery life, and accuracy, that was the best heart rate monitor out there. Now I'm going to have and say that, you know, and I would say that for 90% of the people it would probably be the same. It's more comfortable to use the Coros armband you know, than to have a chest heart rate. Okay, we put the armband around our arm and it's just like you don't even notice that it's there. Sometimes you can go the whole day and realize like, oh, I left my armband on my bicep, right? So definitely some things have changed in terms of, you know, what's out there and what's not out there. But at the end of the day, a heart rate monitor is a heart rate monitor as long as it does what it's supposed to do. Give you a good data, deliver good data, and, you know, allow you to train the way you want to train, okay? So when you have all these things, you know, you have a watch and a heart rate monitor that connects, and as long as you're understanding that, hey, sometimes you got to look at the graphs after the run and actually kind of look at it, hey, did it work properly? What I mean is sometimes by having inaccurate readings going like up and down, it's going or showing you some other things, then you know it's not accurate, right? Because it should be constantly, or if you go doing a long run, maybe you get dehydrated, you'll see that it goes up towards the end of the run and things like that, and you'll realize. But when you're seeing like the weird numbers and it doesn't make sense, like what used to be like with the any of the watches before, a lot of times it was Garmin and heart rate, like that had like on the wrist, and those like was hit and miss. Sometimes I'm running and it's showing me that I'm 170 beats, like it wouldn't read my blood flow properly, and that's exactly what you don't want. You know that you'd be missing the whole point. You would want something that's always accurate and that and provides you correct data. So after that, once you have your formulas, and you know you should be changing your heart rate numbers maybe every, I don't know, probably every like half a year and maybe yearly, just to make sure that, you know, everything still aligns. I remember when I go to Europe or Latvia all the time, I go to the Olympic Center there, and I go do a training with my wife and myself, and we do tests just to make sure that, like, you know, what has changed year to year, check our heart, check everything, how is the lactate at different paces. It's a really important process so that way we can set up the heart rate zones for the following season. And it is nice to just check, making sure that everything is good, you know, like your heart is good, your paces are accurate, and you're making sure that you're, hey, when I say 75%, you actually know what that means, you know, because you have that number. So at first, of course, you're gonna run with heart rate, and first things first is you're gonna learn a lot. You're gonna learn a lot of things in first few weeks, you know, even first few months. You're gonna learn to, you know, maybe you're gonna be able to have some time trials or races, and you're gonna learn like, hey, you know, this is the highest that I can push. And for you, the highest that you can push and the accurate number that you have seen in races or whatever, that's gonna be your max heart rate. That's gonna be it, because that's the highest you've ever, you know, pushed, and that's the highest number you've ever seen. You're not gonna say that it's automatically 200 or whatever, because that's just the formula. What you're gonna need is you're gonna need to make sure that, you know, that you do this correctly and that you're training according to your maximum number, whatever that is. And you will not know at first when you start training with heart rate. And that's a little bit where it's a little tricky. So you're gonna have to go on based on perceived effort. And that's why I always tell people, I say, well, I want you to go really easy. And then describe me. How does that feel? You know, go at like 3 out of 10. Then go 5 out of 10. What is 6 out of 10? You know, what 7 or 8 effort? And those are the things that you actually want to practice, these efforts. And then once you understand, you know, how does your efforts relate to your heart rate, you're able to connect both of those dots. And then when you get your final number in the heart rate max number from a race or something, then you can recalculate it and readjust it. And then you fully have an understanding. Like when I go on my runs, I pretty much fully have an understanding, you know, where my, and at what percentage am I training it currently, you know? And, you know, I have a range, you know, just like I give people ranges. I say, hey, when you're going to go for a run, I want you to stay between 130 and 140, right? In my case, that would be between 70 to like 75%, okay? So that would be my normal easy day. And I know that when I go out there, I just try to stay, you know, in that zone if it's particularly calls for an easy run, you know, and that's all I'm doing. Now, when you're running, at first, when you start heart rate training, you're gonna be a little bit crazy about checking the watch every 10, 15 seconds, and that's normal. But what you don't want to do is just keep looking at it all the time, where you even forget, you know, look up and down and your form deteriorates and things like that. You don't want to do that. What you want to do is just pay attention and, you know, and just check once in a while. At first, maybe, you know, just glance every minute and just like, hey, because nothing's going to change unless there is a hill, unless there is something, unless you picked up the pace. Your perceived effort or the pace that you're running is probably going to be within 5 beats in that 1 minute. So it will not change by much. So, you know, that's what you want to be doing, by checking it every, you know, minute and making sure that, hey, I'm in the zone that I was asked to be in the zone. And that's all. You don't worry about pace unless, you know, sometimes I'll say to people, hey, we're going to go by pace. And then heart rate becomes secondary. But most of the time during heart rate training, heart rate is your primary, your primary objective. And then you're following like a boss that goes over the pace. So when we follow the heart rate, that's when you get better. That's when you start executing day to day. You start, you know, maybe I'm telling, like when I first started training, I was surprised how hard my heart rate was at low paces. And that was a difficult, thing to swallow. You know, I had to let my ego go and I had to say, well, you know, it is what it is. And obviously if many people have done it to be able to get it down, obviously I can do it too. We all can. We have a capability of, you know, making sure that our hearts are, you know, well developed, and it's gonna take time as long as we follow the rules. And the rules are, don't try to cheat the heart rate system early in the training, whether it be first 3 months, first 6 months. I'm telling you, the people that have done, and I've coached some people for now a year plus or 2 years, I've seen a tremendous amount of growth. And these were the same people that, you know, I told them at early on, I said, look, you have got to be patient. If you're not patient in first 6 months, forget about it. Heart rate training is not like, hey, we're gonna get you good in 1 to 2 months, you're gonna run amazing results, and then you can stop. It doesn't really work like that. What we want to do is we want to keep continuing developing the heart, developing the legs, developing everything, so that way, you know, you can just keep improving year to year. And the most important thing that I've learned with heart rate training over many years is the joy that I get from executing a training plan. And, you know, sometimes I'm faster than I anticipated, sometimes I'm slower than I anticipated, but at the end of the day, as long as my effort and as long as my percentages of the heart rate are there, I'm a happy person. I'm a happy runner because I've done everything that I'm capable of. You know, sometimes you can ask me, when, you know, what was my heart rate, you know, during some of my PB races? Honestly, I don't, and this is one of the interesting things, unless asked, but very rarely do I go, I have a heart rate in races, but I have realized that, you know, heart rate training, we focus on in training just so, because we're improving our fitness, that's the whole thing. But when you go to the race, you know, it's for you to prove your fitness. I don't need you to look at your heart rate. I need you to by now know exactly, hey, this is the, you know, that this is what I can do. This is where, you know, I've done the heart rate training in training, but in a race, we're not going to use that data because we don't need to take, maybe I'll use it as a coach afterwards just to confirm and be like, hey, look at this. You averaged 180 for 13.1 miles. It's exactly what we thought you would, you know, but we don't really worry about all the numbers or anything like that. All we do is, you know, we just execute in training, it's so that way you don't overtrain. And when it comes to the race day, you know, you will know by now, hey, and you'll surprise yourself. You know, at the end of the day, I remember many of my wife's races, I looked at it, at the heart rate data, you know, she never looked at it in a race. And I told her one time, you know, I said, like, it's probably my mistake, but she never even listened to me. So that's a great thing at that time. I said, maybe you stay 180 heart rate, but what if you find yourself 185 in the first half of the race already, you know? So that way, I've learned it's best not to look at heart rates during the race. Heart rates are for training, and you can still wear it. And I you know, if you want, if you really don't want, you don't have to, but it's a good data for your coach or even for yourself afterwards to analyze, but not during the race. So, because it just takes away like the mental race, you know, like racing for, you know, as fast as you can be, just being free out there, you know, restrictions. But in training, we definitely want to be restricted because we want to make sure that we, you know, we are training at 90%. We're training high quality training, but we're not being tired and we're not overreaching. And then in the race, you know, as they say, it's all green lights. You know, you now have the right to earn, and you can now go and prove your fitness that you've trained. I had a tremendous amount of people, you know, year to year, actually, honestly, PRing and surprising themselves, even and just saying, like, I'm even looking at some of the people that I've coached, and I say, I can't believe this is the same people that they were a year ago, and look at where they are now. And, you know, then there's always people, you know, like, and I'm not, you know, I understand, you know, there's sometimes people that, you know, are not patient enough, and honestly, I would say heart rate training can be for everybody, but also maybe there's 5 or 10% people that don't enjoy it, or they don't understand the concept, or they just don't want to do it, and that is perfectly normal too. You know, I'm not gonna say that, hey, you without heart rate training you're not gonna be successful. I'm not gonna say that, because that you can still be successful, but this is one of the methods that I've definitely, you know, used for my last 14 years of running, and I've really seen tremendous amount of growth, you know, in that time, all the way starting from 118 half marathon and getting down all the way 106, and of course still trying to strive to get, like, even better and as much as my body will allow me to, you know, to find my full potential. And that's what I always tell my athletes that I coach. I said, you never know how far you will go. I've seen honestly sometimes 3.5 hour or 4 hour marathoners become elite marathoners. There's been cases like that, and you just never know what you're capable of until you fully apply and become, you know, who you can become. And being patient in this road, you know, like, it's not like to get better in 1 minute, 1 season, 1 year. It's like, hey, it's gonna take time. But I've told you guys, you can struggle for, or you can, you know, put in the work for years, and you might seem like you're not seeing the final result, right? But then in that fifth or sixth year, you do some amazing things, and you know, like, people sometimes say, wow, what did this person do in the last 3 months? I would say, what did this person do in the last 6 months? It's cumulative. It's all the work that this person did. It. They struggled. They had ups and downs. You know, like, they found a way to overcome it. And then 6 years later, bam! You know, it was their season, and it was all worth it. You know, and then people be like, I want to be like them. But then, you know, you have to understand that these people go through a tremendous amount of struggle in training, consistency. You know, like, ups and downs. But they just never give in, you know, and that's the difference between a champion. You know, a champion is not always somebody that wins. In my opinion, a champion, and when I sometimes say, hey, congratulations, you're a champion, it's not always that, hey, you got a gold medal or you're the best in the world. The champion to me is like, you achieved the best version of yourself and you overcame the obstacles and all of these things along the way. To me, that's a champion, somebody that, you know, like, fought through things and, you know, never gave in. And that's such a high honor to be called a champion, because, like, you just never give in and you're just mentally strong and you're one of the best out there. And, you know, just to be able to go, you know, day in and, you know, week out and month out and year to year and facing the adversity and then coming back, like, that's what we call champions. A champion is not somebody that just wins without struggle, you know. That's not a champion, you know. That's just, you know, winning by itself. But a champion is somebody that overcomes these struggles and understands, you know, that it's going to take a long time to become the best version of yourself. So anyway, guys, sorry for a little bit of break. Very important that you understand how to apply these things and, you know, not just only seeing it in life or hearing about it, but being able to understand how to apply heart rate training into your program, into your long-term development as a runner. Because remember that out of all the sports that we do, you know, running is a bit different. It's not so much who works hardest wins. It's who works the correct scientific way and understands the, you know, when it's supposed to be run easy. And so by having all of these things at our, you know, basically heart rate training and having all the numbers and everything, we are fully understanding as is what we need to do as runners on day-to-day basis. We know that we need to get out. What is an easy day? What is a recovery run? We know exactly how we're going to do it. And when we execute these, you know, day by day, that's how we build fitness. And when we put it all together week to week, month to month, year to year, you get a phenomenal performances. And heart rate training is one of those things that allows us to make sure that we get the right intensity, to make sure that you are running. You know, running is an individual sport. You really need to, you know, there's nothing wrong with running with other people. I love running with other people, but as long as it's the same kind of capability or it's serving the same purpose that you're trying to get in your training and that person is trying to get in their training. There's nothing worse than actually getting out there, going for a run, and, you know, knowing that some of your friends are pushing the pace and then you're just along the ride. So one person is benefiting or nobody's benefiting, or just, you know, you need to make sure that everybody's always benefiting from the training and they're doing it the correct way so that they can see long-term improvement in running. And and you know, that way you don't get injured all the time, you don't sabotage your training, You know, so that's why when, you know, especially in high school and college days, especially, there was such a peer pressure to run at certain paces, you know, and to be able to, you couldn't like just be yourself. You had to, you know, do what other people were doing. And, you know, that was a big problem because it just put like such a pressure, like, you know, people didn't really know what easy was, and there was no heart rate monitors. Like, if I go back to my high school and college days, we did so many mistakes. We didn't really know what easy was. And imagine if we didn't know, and somebody is a new runner right now. I mean, you really might not even know what easy means until you discovered what truly easy is and what truly is your 70 or 65 or 75%, which are the three easy, you know, ranges from 65 to 75% of your max heart rate. That truly is easy, and most of your miles should be in that zone. And if they're not, and if you don't know it, maybe you're running like moderate all the time without, and you'll either get injured all the time or you don't see the improvement. So it's very important to discover, like, you know, that what gets you to the next level and improves you in the long run by really, really focusing on the numbers and precise and really enjoying the journey, guys. You know, I've talked about it. If you enjoy the journey, if you enjoy the heart rate training, because it allows you to stay healthy, it allows you to progress, it allows you to have variety in training. You know, I told you guys every single week I have all kinds of paces, anything from 4-minute mile to 8-minute mile trainings, you know, like speed days to easy days. That's a big range. I have, you know, every week I have something to start with a 4 and something that starts with an 8. Okay, and so that's 4-minute gaps. So you should also have it in your training, a lot of space. You know, you should, if your speed is at 7-minute mile, you should have 7-minute, 8-minute, 9-minute, 10-minute, 11-minute pace. These are all the paces that you should have throughout the week. You know, like, because truly, you know, our slower pace is always about 2 minutes slower than what we are running in a 5K pace. You know, at least. So if you're running a 5K in 8 minutes, you know, you know that your easy days are going to be at least 10-minute mile days, and they're going to be, you know, 70 to 75% or even less, depending on everybody else, of your max heart rate. Okay. So anyway, guys, thank you for listening to this episode. You know, hopefully that this helps you to really kind of understand some of the basics of, you know, training, and hopefully that this allows you to better execute your day-to-day heart rate training. And you understand, when you understand what you're trying to do, you're going to be more successful, and you're going to be making sure that you're consistent, and you're going to try to want to do your best every single time. Anyway, thank you so much for listening to this episode, and you know, put your watch on, put your heart rate on, get your numbers, and let's go try to become the best version of yourself. Have a great day. Thank you so much.